This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app. You missed Ross Tucker, Odyssey Sports NFL Insider, with us an hour ago. You can hit the rewind button in the Odyssey app. You can also check it out on the Hoffman Show podcast. Just search the Hoffman Show wherever you get your podcasts, and then that's the Hoffman Show. You know how podcasts work. Cool. You also, at this point, probably know how this works. Biggest Commanders storylines of the day at 6 o'clock. Let's get to it.
The six biggest Commanders storylines.
It is caught!
Delivered at 6 o'clock sharp. It's the Pick 6 at 6.
We set out to find a leader, someone who could take this franchise to the next level, and build an elite team that consistently competes for championships.
All right, we got injury news. We got captains. We got a Brian Robinson update. We got so many things. Injury news is where we'll start in multiple parts with...
Number one.
Because that's what comes first when they taught us how to count in school. All right, who's out?
That will be Belor. Linebacker Nick Belor, cornerback Marshawn Lattimore, and kicker Austin Seibert. All the rest of the guys practiced, and we'll huddle up tonight and see how they do. But those are the three that that won't play, ruling them out today.
All right. So no Nick Belor hurts the special teams, though they have guys that can come in and play. Like, you probably activate Derek Forrest, even though obviously that leaves you a little thin at linebacker. All your linebackers are active anyway, so you just put Derek Forrest in there instead of having him inactive. You put him in Belor's spot, and your special teams operates relatively unchanged, although Belor's the better player. Defoe's a good special teams player. He's fast, he's physical, all that kind of stuff. But Nick Belor's like a pretty special teams player, and you're going to be down one of those guys. So that's what you do there. Zane Gonzalez will kick. And then, obviously, Marshawn Lattimore affects you in a much, much more significant way. If Marshawn Lattimore was playing, I think that you can play some man coverage on the back end. And you can try to up your pressure packages. With where they're at corner, and with the extraordinary talent on the Philadelphia Eagles roster, I am playing a ton of soft coverage structures. I'm, you know, if you want to do some bump and run type of stuff and cover two, fine. Like, to mix it up in terms of not just totally soft, but like structure wise, a lot of cover two, a lot of quarters, a lot of cover six, where you're two on one side, four on the other. I want multiple players deep. I never want my corners in man-to-man situations with no safety help. I'm not playing cover one where I have a deep safety playing center field that really can't get to either sideline unless it's a bad ball. I'm not playing cover zero where it's straight man-to-man across the board and we're blitzing everybody else. Like, I am playing, we're not playing cover three where, oh, he's responsible for a deep third. It's basically the way they're going to run some of the route concepts and run their route combinations that turns into a man-to-man situation real quick. Not doing that with any regularity. I'm certainly not doing it in big spots. I know they want to blitz. I know they want to pressure. But please, for the love of winning football, do not leave these corners, any of them, not just Juice, Sainer Still, Igbinoghene, one-on-one with Devontae Smith or A.J. Brown. Because if it becomes isolation basketball, then the Eagles win. If it becomes a team game, now Jalen Hurts is much, much less effective. Those receivers, while still good, are less effective, less dangerous, less likely. It's really less likely to pop the big one, even if they're still good. You're going to give up yards. It's going to be painful. You're going to bend. Just don't break. And don't break easy. And if Marshawn Lattimore was there, that'd be a potentially different story. But he's not. It's why they traded for him. We're going to have some patience on that front, and we'll see if he's ready to go for Dallas 11 days from now, 10 days from tomorrow.
Number two.
So that's the bad news. The good news is Brian Robinson is back. How's he look this week, Dan Quinn?
Yeah, today was the day to get speed, and so that was a good sign to see him and the rest of his teammates really get running. It was a kind of a ramp up, John, as you go. Think of a slower on Monday, a little faster yesterday, but today's the day you hit the marks to go up, and so he did a good job with that.
Good to hear, and that's really what you want for a hamstring injury. Sports radio cap off, personal trainer, sports performance coach hat on. It's got to be a ramp because you have to kind of pass each test safely. And if you feel a little twinge, like, whoa, okay, the second you feel anything in that hamstring, stop. Because otherwise, you're going to push it too far, you're going to re-injure it, and we got to start the clock over again. And so the fact that he was able to get up to speed, that's all they've been waiting for. That's why he's playing. He couldn't pass that test leading into Sunday's game. He couldn't even pass it last Friday. But they get it to the point that he's good to go. He said yesterday that he felt really good. And so now I don't know that he'll have a full load because they still need to probably manage exactly how many carries he gets. But depending on how much he gets out in the open field and opens up, like, they'll be, if they're smart, which I'm sure they are, like, and they have access to this stuff during the game, like, you'd be tracking some of his GPS data. How much time does he spend at certain speeds? So hamstrings are very, very finicky. They're very, very particular. And just having Brian Robinson, even for the ability to get 12 carries, is so essential compared to having zero. It affects how the other team plays zone read. It affects how the other team, obviously, is facing yardage down and distance. Because one thing that we didn't really talk about yesterday is, and Monday, is the hidden yardage Brian Robinson gets. Same exact run. 2 yards, Austin Eckler. B-Rob's able to fall forward. Difference between a second and 8 and a second and 7. And it doesn't sound like much, but if you run the ball again, and now it, same thing happens, and it's 2 3-yard games instead of 2 2-yard games, 3rd and 4 is very different than 3rd and 6. And the playbook and what becomes open. And so this hidden yardage of falling forward for an extra 1 2 yards here and there just keeps you out of some of these bad down and distances, and B-Rob back should let the hidden yardage add up.
Number three
on the injury front, and we'll get to the non-injury stuff in just a little bit, but the other injuries to watch, all three of their top tackles, so Andrew Wiley, Cornelius Lucas, and Brandon Coleman, questionable for tomorrow. I would guess all three play, but Wiley and Lucas are the guys that missed last week, and Dan Quinn was asked how they're looking this week.
Yeah, they both had good work yesterday. We did kind of some individual, and then we got really more today at full speed. Not full speed, but enough where we could punch and go and be aggressive. And so Cornelius and Andrew both did a good job today.
So there's Dan Quinn on those guys. I can't stress enough how big it would be to get either one of them back to play right tackle. Wiley is obviously the best guy. And I know he was much maligned last year, and people have kind of come around and be like, oh, maybe the things that, like, Craig and Logan were saying about if you use him in the right ways and don't ask him to one-on-one pass protect all the time, he's a little bit better. And he's had his moments this year, losses, penalties, whatever. But you see it in that Pittsburgh game, the timing, the punch, the power, the pop, the mobility that he has versus Trent Scott. And you say, okay, Wiley is an above average run blocker and a solid enough pass blocker, where Trent Scott is below average at those things. And you see where it shows up in big spots. Watt getting some key pressures and hits late. Some of the run game stuff that just is not crisp and clean. The screen game being a mess, like, that's definitely a part of it. So can they have those guys out there? Biotish is also banged up like crazy. Can't wait for him to get 10 days off. Just get him out of this game healthy. But it affects it because the mobility is not there, and the timing and the partnership with Sam Cosmi is not there. It's just not the same. So can they get Wiley back? If so, the execution should go up. Lucas to potentially spell Coleman, or if Wiley can't go, can he play right tackle? Like, just having that piece. Good players are better. Better to have the better players. As simple as that. O-line, it's definitely true. And I think we saw that play out on Sunday. And hopefully we see an upgrade tomorrow night against Philly. When we get back, we will hear more from Dan Quinn as we wrap up our pick 6-6, including his thoughts on what the Jahan Dotson trade is. They'll see Jahan tomorrow night wearing 83 for Philadelphia, did for their roster and some of the guys who have gotten opportunities. Plus, why is Olamide Zaccheaus still getting a second chance as a punt returner? All of that next in our pick 6 here on the Hoffman Show. But first, a look at the latest in the world of women's sports presented by Wawa. Gotta have a Wawa. It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app. Streaming live on YouTube, too, at the Team 980. Our pal Dave Johnson joins us coming up at 6:30. And he's in San Antonio, where tonight the Wizards are going to take on the Spurs. Right now, though, we continue on with our pick six at six. Six biggest Commander storylines of the day. And let's start off, actually, with a trade that was made between these two teams.
Number four.
The Jahan Dotson trade. Anthony, should we play the Shane from Oxon Hill call again? No, we don't need to do that right now. Maybe if we have a little bit of extra time, but I want to try to stay on the clock and try to make sure that we have our full segment with Dave. The Jahan Dotson trade was a really critical juncture in the Commander season. They kind of set the tone of like, hey, you either get on board with the program or you get out. And it's not about how you're playing in terms of the quality. It's about how you're going about your business. And it was pretty clear Jahan Dotson was not going about the business of being a Washington Commander in the way that the people in charge of the Washington Commanders wanted anymore. And so they said, hey, who wants Jahan Dotson? And Howie Roseman was like, we would like Jahan Dotson. And they gave him a third-round pick. That third-round pick kind of unlocks the extra draft capital that Adam Peters needs to go make the Marshawn Lattimore trade, and we'll see how that ultimately plays out in the long term. Meanwhile, Dotson hasn't really done a whole lot for Philly, and the pick that was exchanged for him is that of the Miami Dolphins, who were not very good thanks to the Tua injury, and all of a sudden that pick looks like it's going to be a pretty good one in the third round, barring a second-half turnaround. That is possible from Miami. They got a pretty weak schedule, but we'll see. Certainly, it seems like it's going to be no worse than the middle of the third round. So how did that trade for Dotson shape what Dan Quinn and company are trying to build here in D.C.?
I thought, number one, with Adam, we always said this best decisions, for the team at that time, Ben. And so whether that's, a trade or whatever that looks like, that's going to be kind of the driving force behind it. As you guys know, we didn't really talk about who's the two in that. We had a big, deep crew at receiver now that you've seen, kind of how the guys are used and where we're at. But that was the best op for the team. And John did a great job. He was here with us and look forward to seeing him.
Classy as always by Dan Quinn, but there was a reason why Jahan Dotson wasn't like, hey, Dan, who's your number one? It's Terry. Okay, who's your number two? Well, we move guys around. If you had a guy who was number two, then he'd be the number two. And alas, he is not. They have gone by this rotation thing. Noah Brown obviously comes in. So there was a plan. They found ways to continue to supplement. They continue to compete, to kind of use their terminology. But it certainly, I think, sent a message of, it's our way or the highway. And most people got on board pretty quick. The couple stragglers, not so much. And I don't know, Emmanuel Forbes is still here, but deal with that a different day.
Number five.
One of the guys who's gotten more opportunities without Jahan in the picture is Olamide Zaccheaus. And his emergence in the preseason, I think, probably gave them even more confidence to allow the Dotson trade to happen. They knew they had Zaccheaus. Luke was coming on pretty well. Some of the other guys that were playing good ball, Jameson Crowder, he wound up getting hurt, but like he was a factor. And obviously what he brings as a punt returner was something they were hoping to have and, still could if he can get back off of IR. But last couple weeks, Zaccheaus had some muffed punts. He had one against Chicago. He had two last week. Obviously lost the one that cost them a touchdown. And that, as much as any other of 10 plays you want to pick, cost them the game. So why is Dan Quinn sticking with Olamide Zaccheaus as his punt returner? Why that second chance?
Well, I think you have to look at the whole body of work in terms of the work ethic, what you've seen before. And so, when you're going through it, you want to make sure there's not a pattern that comes up. And if that's the case, then it's somebody else's role to do that in punt return. But there's also a lot of work and trust that's been put into that. And so that's really where I look at it. And I'm at the top of everything, like protecting the team. And so that's where
that's where he sits. I think it's interesting for a guy that's muffed a couple punts to say, I'm protecting the team. But it also might mean that the other guys that when they said, hey, we're going to do punt catching today, does Sandra still drop him? Does Luke drop him? Like, I don't know what the other options are, and he might ultimately be the best one. And, that's something that we've talked about with St. Juice at corner. We've talked about with some of these receivers, with, certain offensive linemen at times. There just are only so many good NFL players, and acquiring them is really hard. And so for a guy who is not the best at his position, it's saying that, hey, we don't have anything better is not an endorsement of that player as the greatest of all time. I don't think they have any confusion that Alamide Zaccheaus is a punt returner who hasn't really done a ton as a punt returner this year, but he's been reliable outside the last couple weeks. But they don't think he's Dante Hall back there. Anthony, do you remember Dante Hall?
Number 82 for the Chiefs, one of the greatest and shiftiest punt returners to pick up a football. Oh.
You remember what it... Whoa. You almost fell there. Your seat just gave out on you. Glad that was captured on camera for posterity.
Yeah.
You remember what his nickname was?
Nickname? Ah, I don't remember the nickname.
The Human Joystick.
That does sound familiar.
Pretty good. Pretty good nickname. They don't think he's Dante Hall back there. They don't think he's Devin Hester, but he's the best they got for right now. And if that changes with some more data, aka more fumbles or, you know, too many balls caught inside the five, then we'll cross that bridge when it comes.
Number six.
Last but not least, a good question. Ask a head coach a day before the game. Hey, Dan, what have you seen on film from the Eagles that they do well?
I'll start for their defense. I thought their five down fronts, the four down fronts, I thought safeties down when they're back, the disguise. I thought Coach Fangio does a very good job and has for a long time, Kendi, into that space. I love the aggressiveness of their corners, playing tight coverage onto people. So there'll be a lot of contested throws and contested throws and catches. The interior part of their guys, big guys with size and guys that can rip off the edge. So a good challenge that way. Offensively, I felt run game-wise was similar to what we have seen. Their line coach and staff there has done a fantastic job through the years in the run game, and they've added an explosive player to the mix in Saquon. Kellen, I thought, added probably different, you know, his flavor and elements to the drop-back game to go, but the addition of Barkley has really been, as it's been proven, you know, a big addition for them this year. Special teams-wise, big place kicker, you know, that can hit it from deep, so the field position for us is going to be a big deal in this game. That's where I think of them all at the top, and known quantity, tough group. And so for us, you know, heading up there, division game, like, it's really cool. We're pumped.
Should be a fun one tomorrow night. Yeah, there's a lot of talent on that roster, and Kellen Moore's found some ways to get it going here, but it really is an offense that does rely on Saquon Barkley getting them going with some big plays in the run game, and he has been able to do that pretty consistently. If Washington can shut that down, it certainly feels like they've got a great shot to pull the upset tomorrow night. But again, roster-wise, no doubt, Eagles have the better players up and down. But Washington has done better at using their players better to their 7-3 record. Philly 7-2 on a 5-game winning streak. We'll be talking about it not only for the rest of the show today, outside of next with Dave Johnson. We're talking about the Wizards and Spurs tonight here on your home for the Wizards, the Team 980. But all day tomorrow, starting at 4 o'clock. That is our pick six at 6. Biggest storylines of the day. Tomorrow we'll pick the six players that we think will be most impactful in the game at 6 o'clock. So stay tuned, or be tuned in for that. But next, on your home for Wizards basketball, the one and only legend, Dave Johnson, joins us.